The following podcast was produced in Virginia Beach, Virginia by Pungo Publishing Company, LLC.
Hi, I'm John Doucette, the editor of the Princess Anne Independent News. It's a community newspaper based in Virginia Beach, Virginia. This podcast is a short conversation with Thomas King, who lives in the Red Mill area of our city, and he is a hunter. He also can call turkeys without using a call, which is a skill he wowed me with a couple years back when we met at the Pungo 7-Eleven. We finally sat down in February, and what follows is part of that conversation. You can visit us online at princessannad.com or search Pungo Publishing on Facebook. That's PRINCESSANNEIND.com. And Pungo is spelled PUNGO. Again, this is me talking with Thomas King, and you may not want to play this near a turkey.
Like I said, I got into turkey hunting. I seen the birds, guys and stuff hunting them and asking questions about it. And 1992 is when I started going out there.
Oh, where to?
Was going out there to Williamsburg. Mm-hmm. What they call Charles City County, up that way.
Yep.
And when deer season was over with, I said, figure I'd try something else a little different. And I seen some guys going, turkey hunting. And I didn't know nothing about it. What I started doing, going up there, it's a wildlife management area up there in Charles City County, and I went up there and started. We've been going out there with my uncles and stuff growing up since I was 6 years old, and then I went up there, got older and started going up there and doing some deer hunting when deer season is done down here in Chesapeake, in Virginia Beach, and then I said, shoot, I'm gonna try it out. Went out there and didn't know what I was doing. Sitting down, doing the calls and stuff like that, and didn't learn anything. Well, about 93, I seen this older guy, and this white guy, and he told me, he said, was walking out, and I stopped, and I started talking to him and stuff like that, and he said, did you see anything? I said, no, I ain't seen nothing.
Yeah.
But I think I heard something, but I didn't know what it was. He said, "Did it sound like like somebody was coughing in a cup when the way the birds gobble?"
Yeah.
He said, "I said, yeah. What is that? Is that a turkey?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You ever seen the ones out there on the farms and stuff like that?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "That's what they are. That's what it sounds like." I was like, "Oh, okay." And then about 5 years, Attentively, we started every time I got a chance to get out there on the weekends and Saturdays and stuff. And about 5 years went by, he was teaching me. In that 5 years, he was teaching me something about how to call turkeys.
It's just
how to
a hunt. Man you met randomly.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And what was his name?
I never knew his name. I always used to call him Pops.
Pops.
And
just the guy you ran into.
Yeah. This. Yeah. Yeah. And but what he has showed me and teach me. I have won, shows. I have, called in big birds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I was jumping ahead.
Oh, sorry.
But what he did by him teaching me a little bit of stuff is a little bit each time, it got me closer and closer and closer. Well, the first time I recall one up, it only took me about a year to learn how he was teaching me to do it naturally.
Yep.
And when I did it, I called in the biggest bird I have ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Had the first time, and when I went back up to him, I said, "Pop, pop, pop!" I did what you told me, and this big bird flew, was right there in front of me, puffed up so big, I couldn't shoot it. He said, "That's fine, that's good," And then he went by and was teaching me, and then he says, one day I came up to him, and I was coming out the woods, and I had a bird on my shoulder and stuff like that. He says, "Did you, I see you had good luck?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Pops, why you don't get any birds that you call in each time?" And he says, "Son, if I call in every bird that I call in and kill, I won't have nothing to hunt."
Oh yeah.
I didn't understand that till I got, a little bit older. Like now, I understand what he's saying. Well, and he says, "I'm gonna teach you something that you can, teach to someone that wants to learn how to do it. If they don't worry about it."
Yeah.
And he said, "You can say the word buck, right?" I said, "Yeah, I can say the word buck." He said, "Make it sound like a chicken, mm-hmm. but just say buck in it."
Buck. B-U-C-K.
Right.
Buck. Like a deer.
Right. Okay. You know how your chicken does the buck sound?
I do.
Now listen to this. Now he did it. Uh-huh. And then what I did, I had to imitate the way he sound. And this is the way I did it. Uh-huh. I'm saying buck the whole time. And he says, if you want it, now what you do, you change the rhythm up a little bit to make it sound, okay, a buck is like, it's a cluck. You are clucking, cluck, 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 cluck. If you do the diaphragms and the mouth calls and you do any type of calls, if you look on the directions, it tell you to say chuck, mm-hmm. chuck, 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 chuck. You do say buck, 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 buck for the voice, for your voice. And I can say chuck, 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 chuck. Then, and by doing that, he says, you don't have to do it loud, you do it soft. Mm-hmm. Because the birds are they're not loud in the woods. Well, I learned how to do that, and the same thing with crow calls is the same thing. All you do is say rah, rah. You ever heard with a crow? All I'm doing is rah, 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 rah. I'm doing it fast, and the same thing with the gobbles. If you ever look on TV or you go to shows, they're going with rhythm. It's like a music note. That's what the judges listen for. But out in the woods, it's not like that. It's broken up rhythm. That's how you get the birds think. They actually come to you and stuff like that. And I do this type of call here. I do. You see how I changed it up?
Uh-huh.
The rhythm in it. See, a lot of guys can't do that.
Yeah.
Guys can get out there and do it on stage and for show, but when they come out there in the woods, it's a totally different thing. Mm-hmm. I used to be real soft. But when on state land, you have other people.
Mm-hmm.
And other people come around, I can make it sound like the real thing. And what happened, when the guys be out there hunting them, they come close to me.
Right.
And I have had guys come up to me. And I had one guy, I met him that morning, and he came up. I had my decoys sitting out in front of me. You're supposed to set them off away from me, on the side. Well, he came up. What I do, I sit still, and when I'm hearing steps, Now I want to put my eyes on what I'm hearing, because if it's coming up, I can hear it coming up, coming up behind me. And what happened, he was on his knees and he came up right behind me and right beside the tree. And I said, "Yeah, it sounds good, don't it?" He says, "Man, that was you?" He said, "Man, you sound good." Well, and good. Then what happened?
You won't have an accident, though.
Right, right, right. And I have had that, several times. You're looking at over 20-some years of experience in doing it.
Yep.
And I have killed over 30-some birds.
Mm.
But that taught me I have to be loud. Now I'm a loud caller.
Mm.
Well, in that 5 years and learning that and doing that, because, I was still learning. And in the 5 years, I learned how to call turkeys with my voice. I didn't see Pops no more after that.
Oh, yeah.
And I could never, thank him for all you know, stuff he has taught me.
But you ran into him off and on over 5 years. Mm-hmm. And this is all up in Williamsburg area.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the wildlife management area. Yeah. And just like when going up there, you know, Pop said, you know, he always tell me, you know, just be patient. Don't worry about, you know, how them other guys sound.
Yeah.
If it sounds good to you in your ear, it's going to sound good to that bird. And, you know, and he's right. You know, if I ever saw him again, you know, it's hard to put in words the gratitude that I have for that. You know, now, and I understood, now I really do understand what he was saying.
Yep.
About, you know, going out there and just calling.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole key.
So you started going with your dad and your uncles?
No, my uncles.
Your uncle.
Yeah. When I was 4 years old.
4 years old. That was the first time you went hunting.
That's where that's my boy is at.
Wow.
I killed my first deer when I was 6 years old.
That's crazy, yeah.
Well, you know,
it's not crazy. I mean, I'm a city kid, so I got no frame of reference. You know?
Right, right.
That's great. And your sons do this too?
Yeah, all my boys have hunted before.
Oh no, I mean, can they call though?
They do, but I think what happens, they get nervous. You know, it's a pressure. You know, when they get out there in front of people and doing it, they don't think they sound good enough to do it. Because that my 18-year-old at one time when he was young, he could cold call real good. You know.
Yeah.
And but now, you know, his voice, you know, by him, his voice changed.
Right.
If he would have stayed in it, I think he would sound good. Now, my 23-year-old, mm-hmm. he can actually use the mouth calls real good, and do, you know, slate, you know, box calls.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he can do the box calls, you know, and stuff like that. And my 10-year-old, he can do the slate call with a, you know, a striker, mm-hmm. with a, you know, with a stick to it. I can show you that to you. And he does it good, but if more he does it, better he'll get at it.
Right.
You know.
And so, what's it like taking them out hunting? I mean, what does it mean to you to be able to do this?
Something that they can say that they, you know, we had a chance to, you know, they spent time with me.
Yeah.
Where I missed out with my father, you know, doing it with me like that. You know, sports and stuff is totally different than actually getting out there and, you know, doing something that my uncles and them did. You know, my uncles and them, they didn't play sports.
Yeah.
Hunting was their sport.
And so, I hope it's okay to ask you, but mm-hmm. why didn't you do this with your father?
Well, my father, he wasn't into hunting. He was into, you know, playing basketball.
Sports, right.
Yeah, football, you know, and stuff like that. I did it, you know, but I fell back into hunting.
Right.
Something I was familiar with.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to cycle ALS or anything, but... it sounds like you might have liked to have enjoyed this with your father, so it's important to you to enjoy it with your sons.
Oh, yeah.
Is that okay to say?
Yeah. Because, you know...
I don't want to speak for you as all.
Right, right, right. No, it's fine. Because it is. Because, see, now I have something that I share with my boys. They, you know, they play sports and all like that, you know, and everything. But it's something that they can say, well, this was my dad, you know, done when I was little. You know, and shows out there in the, you know, this is what my dad did, you know, the hunting and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so, did you like hunting right away, or what was it that you liked?
What brought me to hunting is the camaraderie being around, you know, fellowship, friends, and family and stuff like that. You know, when the fall comes, you know, that's, you know, it's getting ready to gear up for hunting season, you know. You know, you start seeing the guys gearing their stuff up, going to stores and, you know, like up there, the 7-Eleven, Pungo 7-Eleven, them boys out there talking, they're getting ready, gearing up for the duck hunting and stuff like that. Just like during the spring, you know, when it's getting starting to get warming up, you know, that's when turkey season gonna come in, mm-hmm. you know, and they're starting to gear up for that.
And you can hunt turkey down here now, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I know we saw actually there's been a wild turkey last year on our land. So not my land, but where we
were. Well, I was part of that, the program getting them stopped down in back in the, well, they started the lower part of Chesapeake and you know, Blackwater area. Yep. And that's how they migrated, you know, to the other side of the creek and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was part of the Tidewater chapter for the National Turkey Federation Committee for the this area.
What's it like being out with your son, Tony?
It's an enjoyment, you know. You get to see the little bloopers and get to laugh about the things they did out there. The you know what happened that day.
Yeah.
You know, you get some good days and bad days, but a lot of good days.
Yeah. I guess when you're out there with people you care about, the bad days aren't that bad.
No, it's very little, very little. Just spending time with them, you know. Yeah. Something that I like to do, they out there with me doing it.
And so what would you tell somebody who maybe has always thought about trying to learn how to mouth call but never,
you know,
never tried it?
I would say, you know, what is the most struggle for somebody that's trying to learn how to do it with their voice, they're trying to make it sound like they would sound, you know. I would try to say, well, like what somebody else, what they hear. I would say, listen to your voice. You know your voice better than anybody else. That's pretty much what Pop was saying. He was saying, you know, listen to how, if it sounds good to you, it's going to sound good to the bird, you know. Like I said, just listen to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't worry about how guys, you know, how they sound. I heard about, you know, I listen to how I sound. Just like, just like the gobble, you got almost three types of gobbles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got the early morning call, juvenile, and the dominance.
What's the last one?
Dominance. You're the big one. The
dominance.
Big one. Yeah, dominance. He's the big dominant one.
Dominant. Okay.
Yeah. And that, like, okay, this is what you call a tree gobble. You know, a lot of guys don't know that. One thing, you know, sometimes they don't gobble as, you know, like you would hear the dominant one would do. He'll gobble. And the reason why they gobble, because they want to be the loudest thing in the woods. Right. Because they want to attract the hen to them. That's the reason why they gobble like they do. And then you got the juvenile. He's almost at the point where he can gobble, but he can't gobble. And he does this. He's trying to gobble.
Uh-huh.
And that's like I said, guys don't know that, you know?
Yeah.
And then you got the big gobbler. He's, you know, that's the juveniles or the jakes or the, I call them mid males. And the dominant one, he's going to be the big gobbler. You know, I know you hear that out there at the, you know, the turkey farm stuff like that. And that's the difference in it. You know, a lot of guys don't know that.
I sure did. But I'm a city kid. I'm not good for anything.
Right.
For me, food comes shrink-wrapped. That's all I know.
Well, that's good, though. That's good.
You got cans. Also comes with cans.
Right.
And sometimes boxes.
Okay. But that, you know, like I said, the answer to the question is this.
Yeah.
If they get into it, just try to listen to what they hear and try to imitate it back to their way they're doing it. Because, like, just like with me, we got deep voice. You know, as males, we have deep voice. Well, what you have to do, you have to change your tone to make it sound a little bit different. And just, you have to put that rough sound in it. When you do it, like you got, like I said, you got the plain yelp. See, I'm putting a rah rah sound in. That's like you know how the ducks. Now all I'm doing, and the squirrel bark is just almost the same thing. I know you heard that. And same thing with the goose call. You saying wrong, wrong, You know, that's that all that's yeah. in the same cadence. But I didn't never knew that to Pops showed me how to, you know, how to do that.